when an opportunity opens, I want it to be God, because the adversary can open stuff to you you don't want. That's why I don't fleece. I don't say, God, if this happens, that's you. Because if you get your life out there in an area where Satan can have some influence, you may end up at the wrong place, whatever. Now, don't misunderstand me. When I'm going forward, I'm expecting some doors to open. I'm expecting some things to come. I'm expecting these things. But I'm going to pray about all of it. And if I show up somewhere and I don't have no peace in me, I'm backing off, because I want the peace of God. Because I found out that not everything that you think is God's will turns out to be God's will. I've made a few mistakes. Okay, I've done a few things that I thought was that wasn't. So I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to seek God about it. And I've even seen him take some of my mistakes and bring something good out of them. So God is faithful. That's what I know. God is faithful. And so we want to receive the open doors that God has for our life. Amen. We want to walk into them. We want to walk through them. And so I want to just kind of share with you probably a couple of lessons on how to do that. It's not about making something happen. No? Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in hard work, so don't anybody go there. I believe in, if you're a young person and you believe God wants you to get an education, get an education, I mean go to school, traditional school, and then do that. But I'd ask God about it, because he may not. He may have something else in mind for you. He may have another plan. And you know, we live in a society now that you can get educated without spending $300,000 to get educated. We got anything you need, want to find out. Hey, when I wanted to find out about the birthing of my cows, I went on YouTube and learned what was going on. Because you can find anything. Some of it I don't want to find, but you can find anything on there. So, I mean, there's an education to be obtained out there without having to pay for it all, okay? But my point isn't against education. My point is, don't just let somebody tell you you need to go to school. You may not. It may not be. Maybe you'll be happier doing. I know a lot of people that went to colleges and ended up doing other things like plumbing and building houses and doing all kinds of other stuff. You know, because we want God's will, and we want to enjoy life. Amen. When you show up at the job every day and you hate your life, I kind of don't think that's God. Now, that's my opinion, but I don't think that's God. I think God wants me to love life. Amen? And so we want to live our lives in a way that brings glory to God. And don't let them tell you that all the good days are behind us. My best days are in front of me. He said he would make my latter greater than my former. Now, you got to decide what you're going to believe. You can spend your whole life believing for doom. Or you can say, no, God's still God. And he's set out before me some good things. Amen? And so we want to make sure that we're entering into those things that God has for our life. And you know what? What I find enjoyable and enjoy about life, you're not going to find, okay? It's not you. And that's fine. That's fine. The thing is, don't let your hobbies interfere with God's purpose for your life. No, yes. All right. I want to just read something. Could you go to Psalms? That's not in my notes up there. Could you go to Psalms 37, please? And verse 1, we're going to start there. Now, we want to enter into what God has for our life. And you know what I know is God's going to bring you into things that you have the ability to do. You know, Tom, he thinks by faith he can be a brain surgeon. I don't. Because that's not me. I don't want any part of it. Okay? And I don't believe by faith I can be a power forward in the NBA. Okay? I come up a little short. You know what I'm saying? And so, but I do know this. By faith, I can be everything God called me to be. Come on, when I was young, if I got my will, I'd have been Carl Malone, but white. I wanted to be a 6'11 forward that played in the NBA, that played like Karl Malone. That he was my guy. He's a little bit of a bully. He was my guy. I loved the way he played basketball. So, it was funny because all of us in the house, you know, we were all sports people, you know. And Jonathan, he was Kobe Bryant. He was the greatest to ever live, right? And Wesley was Allen Iverson. You know, little guy, just played in there among the Giants, whatever. Richard didn't care. And Sandy, if it was the Bulls or the Chicago Bears, it was all on because she's from Chicago. So they're the greatest and the best, okay? So I just want you to know we're all different. And that's the same household, amen? We're all different, so it is what it is. And it's okay to be different, right? But in Psalms 37 and verse 1, it says, do not fret because of evildoers. Right? Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as green herbs. But trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. And what I always hear when I read that is, dwell where God puts you. Amen? How come God's will is never where we're at? It's always someplace else. Sometimes God's will is just where you're at. Come on. I'm here because it's God's will, right? I'm in God's will, and that's what's important to me. Trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed on what? His faithfulness. And if you don't, that's where the problem's going to come. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you what? Desires of your heart. And I see that in twofold. First of all, he's going to put the desire in me, and then he's going to bring the desire to pass. Amen? And he'll give you the but the key was to delight yourself in him, right? Too many times we're delighting ourselves in other things than the will and the purpose of God in our life. And he says if we'll delight ourselves with him, he will give us the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him. And listen to this. And he shall what? Bring it to pass. Not you. He. He will bring it to pass. He will open the doors. He will make the way. Now, don't misunderstand me. We have our part to play. We have to trust in him. The Bible said God would bless our doing, not our sitting. We can't just sit. We got to do. We got to be busy about the Father's business, right? We got plans. We're always listening to God. Is this God's will? Is this God's purpose? Does this fall in line with God's will for my life? I've always wanted animals, but I would never get them because it just didn't go with where I was at the time and all those things. But when God moved me to Palo Cedro and opened it up where the church I pastor is 2.2 miles from my house, and it's like God saying, son, I'm going to give you the very desire of your heart that you've carried all your life. I know to you it's nothing and it's silly, and it is. But it's my silly, okay? And God, he made a way. He makes a way. He offers it, you know. And he meets my needs, and he blesses me, and he brought it to pass. And moving into this house and coming here and all that, it was so easy. It was so simple because it was God. Now, that's not without its challenges. I'm just saying, God knows how to do it if we'll trust him and let him do it. And it says, he shall bring it back, verse 6. And he shall bring forth your righteousness, or your right standing with him, as light, and your justice as the new day. And here's the key. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. I get around too many Christians that are anxietied. They're filled with anxiety. There's too many Christians on medication to calm them down. You don't need a comfort animal. You need the comfort Holy Ghost. I'm not against having a dog. I'm just saying my comfort will come from God through the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, you don't have to agree with me. I'm just telling you. It says, rest in the Lord. and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. And I like the way he says that, who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Come on. Get off. I mean, those who hate Biden, you need to stop. And those who hate Trump need to stop. Wait. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only comes to what?
Harm.
It's only going to come to harm. It's not going to help you. You sitting there cussing the TV ain't going to change anybody or anything. I went to a board meeting down at the county. They asked me to come pray. And I, okay, whatever. You know, first they called and asked me to come pray, but I couldn't use the name of Jesus. And I said, no, thank you. And none of the pastors in town would go pray, so they changed that back to we could use the name of Jesus. I mean, if you pray and don't say the name of Jesus, you might as well have said, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. Because God answers my prayer because I do it with authority in the name of Jesus. So anyway, so I'm going down there, and it was during COVID, and everybody, some people are worked up, and some people are, you know, it's just, and everybody's mad. Both sides are mad. So I get up there and I pray, Lord, everybody's important. Everybody has an opinion and have a right to it. But Father, we have to do it respectfully, and we have to do it like people would. And I prayed that we'd all have a spirit and an attitude about us where we respect each other and we respect, we don't have to agree, but we can respect each other. And I prayed my prayer in the name of, and you'd have thought I just poked everybody in the room in the eye. Because we like to line up in our camps and go after each other. You're never going to get anything accomplished there. Now, don't misunderstand me. I got some strong feelings about a lot of stuff. But me out getting fretful and worked up about it, I'm going to rob myself of being able to enjoy the goodness of God. That's all I'm going to do, all right? I'm not a pacifist, so don't go there. But getting all worked up and being mad and angry and all that, it's not going to make my life better. Now, I've gone there, been there, done that. But my life, and you know what's funny? No matter how angry I got, it didn't change them. Stupid was still stupid. You know, I mean, you just got to rest. Rest in the Lord. Come on. My point of bringing this out is if we're going to really enter into the things of God and the doors that God opens for our life, we got to learn to rest in God. We got to let him do it. Come on. Now, when I was in Bulgaria, yes means no. And no means yes. So I'm up there preaching, and everybody's going. So I'm like, oh boy, this is going over real good. But afterwards, I found out that was yes. And I mean, you know, going up and down is no, and this is yes. You know, and so I'm sitting there trying to figure out. So I'm that way now. It's like, if you're saying no, I just think I'm in Bulgaria. If you're saying yes, I just think I'm not in Bulgaria. It's all yes. Yes and amen. So, but you know, we want God's will. We want God's way. We want to enjoy the benefits and the goodness of God. Amen? And I can't live in 1920. I can't live in 1965. I got to live in 2024. And God is still God. And he's still blessing his people. My biggest concern is I'm turning into that old guy that's yelling at everybody. Get off my lawn! You know, it's like I don't want to be that guy. That's your job. That's not my job. Get off my lawn! I don't want that job. And I catch myself doing that. I thought, God help me. Go to Mark 5 in verse 25. Now, we want to know how to receive into our life everything God has for us, right? You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like just talking about healing. I like to be healed. I don't like to just talk about my needs being met. I like my needs met, right? I don't want to get up here on Sunday morning and make you guys think that Sandy and I get along and then go home and not. I want us to get along when we go home. Amen. It'd make it good, right? I want to be partaker. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So this gal's in a difficult moment, right? When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I can touch his clothes, I will be made well. That's her confession, right? That's her declaration. All right? And now this was before she got healed. She says, if I can touch him, I'm going to be healed. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole what? Truth. And he said to her, daughter, now listen to this, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He doesn't say, I made you whole. He doesn't say, God made her whole. He doesn't say, the Holy Spirit made her. He says, your faith made you whole. Your faith pulled healing out of me. You know, Jesus didn't know she was coming. And I like to say it this way. This lady stole the healing. She took a healing without getting permission. She snuck up there behind Jesus. And one of the reasons she's sneaking around, because it was morally and according to the law, she was unclean and wasn't supposed to be in a crowd. So she forced herself through the crowd. She touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. It never says Jesus healed her. He says, your faith has healed you. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a Bible definition of faith, and then I'm going to give you kind of just a summary of that. But go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. What is faith? Now, some of you, well, I'm everybody knows Barb's a Lutheran. And Tom, we don't know what he is. And, we got some, get some Baptist folk, Pentecostal folk. And we'll say that's our faith. But that's not what I'm talking about. Sandy, my wife was raised Catholic. Different ones, and somebody would say, what's your faith? And you say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, I'm this. That's not what I'm talking about. Look what it says here in 5. It says, trust in the Lord. Now, this is what faith is. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, because I guarantee you, if you're trusting God for something into your life, it's going to be contrary to the way you've been thinking. If you're standing in a place of defeat, you got to change your mind from defeat to victory. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. And your understanding is being taken from the symptoms around you or from the environment that you're in or from whatever it is. That's what you're doing. That's our mind right there, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. Because I don't know about you, all my understanding comes from my 5 physical senses. You taste it, you touch it. You ever seen that commercial where the raccoons are eating out of the trash? I know none of you guys watch the TV, but and they're eating there, and one of them looks at the other and goes, "Try this, it's horrible." You ever been around people like that? I am. "Oh, this tastes terrible. Try this." See, we get everything we get out of our symptoms. You know, I tasted it. It wasn't good, or I saw it and it did that. Or maybe if you're a 16-year-old guy and you saw it, it was good. But God was saying, turn your head. You know what I'm saying? I mean, our minds are just where we're getting it. We taste it, we touch it, we hear it. And so we're accumulating this information and we're making decisions based on this information. And we live in an information time, don't we? We're bombarded, right? Everybody's destroying democracy. Both sides. Trump's in, democracy's destroyed. Biden gets back in, democracy's destroyed. And we're all just spewing it like it's gospel, like God said it. God didn't say it. I mean, we lived through some pretty bad presidents, in my opinion, and God was still God, and I still prospered, and you know what? Life went on. So I'm just going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my understanding, right? But then he tells us the working it out part, right? He says, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. See, to me, that's the seek first the kingdom of God part. Is wherever you go and whatever you do, you bring kingdom principles to that situation. I can't put the kingdom of God first and do the kingdom of this world. I have to do the kingdom of God first by doing it the kingdom way. A kind word turns away wrath. That's the kingdom way. Right? Love your enemy. That's the kingdom way. Right? Pray for those that despitefully use you. That's the kingdom way. And when we pry the kingdom way in our lives, we're putting first the kingdom of God. And he says that if we seek first the kingdom of God, he said, then all the things in our life we need will be added to our life. Maybe the hindrance to our life being blessed is we haven't learned how to do things the kingdom way. Right? Well, you can't do the kingdom way if you don't have faith in the king. Because in the natural, it don't make sense. No. I got a get even spirit. But it ain't the kingdom way. So you got to decide, okay? In all your ways, acknowledge him, right? He'll direct your path. He said, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So we're acknowledging him, and he'll direct my path. He said, do not be wise in your own eyes. And that's, isn't that, when you're arguing with God, aren't you telling God you're wiser than him? You're smarter than God. That's what we're saying, okay? He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. And the word fear there is not it's not fright. It's reverence or respect. It's to have a reverence or respect for God. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bone. Now, I'm going to just stop there because the faith part, or what faith means to me, is to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways direct his, in all his acknowledge him. And it says, and he shall direct your path. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So that's what faith is, trusting him with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's what faith is right there. That's a manifestation of faith. Now, there's two words that we use a lot in the Christian world today, and one is faith and belief. Sometimes we think faith and belief are the same word, but I don't believe they are. First of all, belief is a verb. I believe that. If you're an English person, straighten me out here because I was terrible. But English is a verb. I mean, belief is a verb. And a verb is an action word, if I'm not mistaken. It requires action. And faith is a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. I believe faith is a place. Faith is a place of rest, of a person with complete confidence in God. Belief is acting out. Belief always has a corresponding action. It's an action word. I believe in this, therefore I act accordingly. She heard about Jesus. Faith came. So she decided to believe, right? And the belief led to action. The action was, I believe that if I can touch his garment, I'll be made whole. So what did she do? She started acting out what she believed. She started pressing through the crowd. She touched the garment of Jesus. And through her hearing and believing, it brought the action that brought the healing to her life. And to me, it's always the same. Some people, faith comes first that sparks belief. A belief that this can change. This can be better. My life can be better. And the Bible, she kept, and it says in one translation, it says, she kept saying, if I can but touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I can just touch his garment, I can be healed. She kept saying it. And out of her confession and her actions, she came to Jesus. She touched Jesus. And as she's trying to get away from Jesus, Jesus turns around and says, hey, somebody touch me. It was no longer the touch of curiosity or the touch by accident. It was somebody intentionally touched Jesus. Did you know there's a difference between wonderment and being convinced? Now, I'm going to try this. It ain't working. Trying don't work. I'm going to try that diet. Yeah, a week you'll be eating donuts. Because you don't try it. I'm going to try God. You don't try God. You make Jesus Lord of your life or you go to hell. And it's simple. Jesus is Lord of all. And when you heard the message, you decided, I don't want to be like this no more. I want to be what God called me to be. And I'm responding. And I believe the moment you stood up there and started heading to here, you got born again. Not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of the living God. You heard, you believed, you acted. If I talk you into coming up here, nothing will change in your life. But when you decide, I'm tired of being like this, I'm ready for change. That's when it happens. That's when it happens. But the woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. So we're going to read a scripture here in a minute, but the only way you can get faith is by hearing. You can't pray for faith. Faith don't come by praying. My Bible says faith comes one way. Faith comes by hearing. That's it. That's why I'm always, you need to be in church. You need to be hearing good messages. You need to be reading the word. You need to be hearing. Because faith comes by hearing. And it is for anything. If you're full of fear and anxiety over our society, it's because faith came by hearing. They told you and told you and told you and told you and told you. And so we say things like, there's no hope for California. Why? Because we heard, we believed, and now we're declaring it. Come on, we got to decide what we're going to believe. Now, I'm not denying negative things. I'm just saying the word is superior. That's what I'm saying, okay? I'm saying the word is superior. So she heard. And you know what? She was desperate, wasn't it? The Bible said she had spent all that she had and got worse. Have you ever done something and it just got worse? You ever went to the doctor and got worse? First of all, the doctor ain't trying to fix you. He's trying to control it. The medication's not going to get rid of it. It's going to try to control it, try to hide it. Now, I'm not against doctors, okay? And I keep saying that because I don't want, if you need a doctor, go see a doctor. I'm just saying that his job is, he will not, he's not, now when he sets your arm, he's trying to fix you. But a lot of this stuff, he can't fix you because they don't have what it takes to fix you. They're trying to control it, right? And then control the symptoms, and then what happens? You get some other symptoms over here because this brought on these symptoms over here. When I got out of the hospital after I fell, they gave me medication to take in the morning to get me up. And then they gave me medication to take at night to go to sleep. They gave me stuff to bring me up, and they brought me stuff to... I'm in a hospital bed at home. And my little wife, being so sweet and lovable, she'd say, Dennis, dinner's ready. And I'd say, could you bring it to me? And she'd go, nope, come get it. Can't you just feel sorry for me? Can't you get a wet cloth and wipe my brow? Don't you know? Some of us love that kind of stuff. Some of us love to be made over. I like to be made over in the right way, if you get my drift. If you don't, we can talk later. But the thing is, we want to do things God's way. Go to Mark 10. So this woman, she just, God went up there and took a healing. And Jesus said to her, what? Your faith has healed you. Now think about that. He said, your faith. Verse 46. I can't go until Tom's ready. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus, we're back to that. When he heard, you know why some people can never have faith? It's because they don't hear. They never hear. They have ears, but they don't hear. We can't hear when we don't accept the word as God's word. You got to accept this as God's word. Not necessarily everything I say, but the Bible, at least the Bible, okay? He says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. Must have been a Baptist church. Says, but he cried out all the more. I'm just teasing. All the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then calling the blind man says to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and he came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Here's a key to receiving from God. You got to know what you want. I mean, why couldn't Jesus say, you're blind. I know what you want. I pray for people all the time that want to pray for something that has nothing to do with the real problem. Pastor, pray for me. I'm too critical. No, you're insecure. That's the real problem. The more insecure you are, the more critical you are of others. Because you're always trying to pull people down. A secure person is always trying to push people up. We can all succeed. We can all be successful. We can all, right? Come on, you can succeed. You can be, but it's just easier to. So we pray all the time for stuff that has nothing to do with what the real problem is. So Jesus is looking at a blind man. He says, what do you want? And that's what it comes down to. What do you want? We read the Bible and we find out what God wants. What God wants for you, what God wants for our world, what God wants. And some of the world is ignoring him, doesn't have anything. But he's asking you, what do you want? What do you want out of this? And Jesus asks us all that. He says, he tells them, what do you want? So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, said unto him, be of good cheer, arise, he's calling you. And he threw away his garment and he rose and he came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Because he knew that if his sight came, he wouldn't need a seeing eye dog. Right? He wouldn't need you to, wouldn't have to beg no more. He could get up and go to work, get him a job and be successful in life. You know, some people don't want to be well because with it comes responsibilities they don't want to deal with. If my health changes, I'm going to have to be responsible. I might have to do the dishes. Now I have an excuse for not doing them. I might have to get off the couch and go find a job because now I don't know what's going through people's heads. Sandy just got saved. She'd just given her, Sandy was 17 and a half when she got saved. She'd just graduated from high school. And she'd moved to California and she was staying with she moved in with her parents. She's going to church with her friend. She wasn't a Christian yet. So she came and she gave her heart to the Lord. Sandy was always, I am a Christian. I'm Catholic. I mean, that's where she was at. Somebody said Christian. She goes, well, I'm a Catholic. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. So every time she had come to this church, it was one of those crazy Pentecostal churches. And every time she had come to church, the kids had said, Sandy, would you like to go get saved? Because she lived in a home that they smoked. Everybody smoked. I don't know if anybody's been in that kind of a home or not. When you walked in my grandma's house, it was like a cloud of smoke. I mean, you could see the cloud of smoke. Everybody smoked except us. You know, and so that's how it was in Sandy's house. And everybody smoked. And she'd come to church and she'd smell like a cigarette. You know, so everybody thought she smoked. But she didn't smoke. She just lived in a house that everybody smoked. And so they'd always come to her, because in the olden days, if you were saved, you didn't smoke. Anybody remember them days? And so she would come in, and they'd always come in, Sandy, would you like to accept Jesus? And Sandy's like, I am. I'm a Christian. She said, I get mad at him. She said, I'm a Christian. And so finally, she says, what I'm going to, Sandy, would you like to shine? She goes, fine. It was like, okay, I'll go do it. Just leave me alone. So she goes up there, and she gets crazy, and she gets born again. And all of a sudden, her life is, there's a transformation in her life. Like she, and all of a sudden, she goes, I wasn't born again. And 3 days later, they're having service again, and somebody walked up to her and says, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And she goes, yes. I mean, all of a sudden, she's ready. So she goes up there, and she wasn't feeling good. She was sick that day. And she went up front. Yeah, people used to go to church, and even when they were sick. And somebody says, well, what if people get sick? All I can say to you is, don't take it. Don't catch it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to say that. Don't stay home for me. Because I'm blessed. I know. I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm whole. What if you die tomorrow? You come to my funeral, put your little bony finger in my face and say, see, I see how healed you are. You know, I don't care. The word of God has to be the final authority. But anyway, she come up there and she received Jesus. She received the Holy Spirit and she got healed. Just like that. She didn't even ask for healing. She just got healed. God didn't only fill her with the Holy Ghost. He healed her. You know, God used to do stuff. Some of us act like he's retired. But he's not. He's still God. He still heals. He still delivers. He still transforms. He'll still meet your need. He'll still give you a decent marriage if you want one. Some people, if they didn't fight, they wouldn't have a personality. It's like, God, help us. I want peace in my life. Right? The old blind Bartimaeus, he knew what he wanted. And Jesus is still doing stuff. Amen? But look what he says here. It says, then Jesus said to him, go your way. What? Your faith has made you well. Oh, We're back to that. He didn't say he made you well. He said your faith, your confidence, your trust, your reliance upon God made you well, not me. Now, I don't understand it. Jesus was the source, but it was the faith that pulled it out, right? It says, go your way, your faith has made you well, and immediately, now listen to this, immediately he did what? He received. You got to receive. If you come up here for prayer and I say this and you want prayer, let's say you're blind. You're not, but let's say you're blind. And you come up here and I say, what do you want? And you say, that I might see or might receive my sight. And Jesus says, so I pray for you to receive your sight. And then you say, well, I hope it worked. He didn't say that. He said he received it. You know, receive is an act of your will. You know, this scripture here, when you get preaching where it's according to your faith, some people get mad. They want someone else to do their praying for them. They want somebody else to do their believing for them. They want someone else to do it. And that's not how it works. That's not how it works. One more quick one. Matthew 14. Now, in both cases, Jesus said, according to your faith, it was your faith. It was your faith. Let's start with verse 26. There's a certain amount of freedom that comes when you get older. Or should. It just makes me more bold to just say it. Because if no one shows up next Sunday, I'll go back home, feed my cows. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be put out. I just know this. The Bible says their faith was connected to their receiving. If faith is that important, we ought to make faith a priority in our life. I had a wonderful lady, worked for us for like 15 years in the office. Great lady. But she had a lot of faith in the doctors. Whatever came in her life, she just knew the doctor would be able to give her something and take care. And so in the last time she went, the doctor gave her a real negative report. And she called me and she says, hey, pastor, this is what they said. She was asking me about healing. And I said, it's God's will for you to be healed. I said, but I want to be honest with you. You need to get up every day and read the word like you would take the medication. You get up every day and you read the word. Every day you confess God's scriptures over you. Every day you spend time with God because it's going to take faith. Because her faith wasn't in, it was in the doctor. She had to transfer her faith from the doctor to God. Now, I'm not saying not to go to God. I'm just saying you got to keep your faith in God, right? So after we talked and all that, she says, well, I probably ought to get the surgery. Because she was saying, I'm not going to do it. At least she was honest enough to just say, I'm not going to do all that. But she died. You know, the doctors do a lot of things and people die. There's no guarantee because the doctor does it, you're going to live through it. I'm not, and like I said, she, that was her decision. But I said, you need to get on the word and take the word like you'd take your medication, like you do, and take God's word as you take the doctor's word. But she was honest, a wonderful lady. I could name her, and Tom knows who I'm talking about. Great lady, great friend. She's a wonderful friend to me. But she had to, you know what, you can sit in church and hear the truth and agree with church and amen, pastor, that's true. And never change, never do anything, just keep doing the same old thing, you know. But I got news for you, friend. We're going to receive from God. It's going to be because we have confidence in him. That's right. We got faith in him. And it only comes one way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then look what it says here. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. He's talking about Jesus, right? They said, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, if Tom's out in the water walking on it, and I'm in the boat, and I cry out, and he says, "It's Tom." And I said, "Well, if it's you, Tom, bid me come." What's Tom going to say? He knows who he is. Come on out. What was Jesus going to say? "I'm not the Lord." Peter put himself in a, he said, "If you're the Lord, bid me to come." And so Jesus, one word, "Come." Don't ever ask God if he wants you to walk on the water, because he'll always say yes. Because he's got the power. Amen? And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, and I love this, he walked on the water. Wow. Well, Peter, he sunk. Well, I'll tell you what, you come on over to my house, and I want to watch you walk on my pool. Sister, brother, sister, faith. Until you can do what Peter did, you may not want to criticize him. Every time I've tried to walk on water, I just step out there in the name of Jesus. And as I'm saying Jesus' name, it's so before I criticize Peter, I better learn how to walk on water myself. Amen? It says, in Jesus, but when he saw, in verse 30, and when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, I want you to catch a picture. Get this down in your mind. They were already in a storm. When he stepped out of the boat, he was in a storm. The wind was blowing. He didn't get out on the water, and all of a sudden the storm come up. The storm was already there. That's why they were worked up. They were concerned they were going to die. But what got a hold of Peter where he would step out of the boat? Because he was laser focused on Jesus. And when Jesus said, "Come, Peter," Peter, I don't even think he thought. He just stepped over the side, and I'm sure all of his buddies around there go, "Come on, Peter, go on. Let's go on, Peter." You know how guys are. If we can get you in trouble, we will. Go for it, man. We want to watch. And he stepped out, and he began to walk to Jesus. But then what happened? He got distracted, and he started looking other places, right? And it's the same with us. We step out in faith, and then we get distracted. The symptoms come back, or the financial problem got worse, or the family member changed, or something. We get distracted, and we become fearful, right? It says, Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water. Amen. To go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. The opposite. Fear is faith in bad. I don't know how else to make it any plainer. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, aren't you glad? Ain't you God? Jesus is an immediate Jesus. It says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, Peter, that's okay that you got distracted. Everybody gets distracted. And, you know, in the church world today, it's just hard to find good faith. And, you know, blah, blah." No, what did Jesus say? "Oh, ye of what? Why did you doubt?" And the word "little" there doesn't mean little like insignificant faith. It means short faith. In other words, he started in faith, but it didn't last long. See, some of us do that too. We start in faith, and then the cares of this life gets us off of our faith and gets us caught up in the situations and the circumstances. But see, here's my point for going through all of this. And sometimes people don't like this, but God help us all. In the three scriptures I gave you, and there's many, that person's faith was what brought about the result. I I didn't write it. So when I look at this, I see the importance of faith. If I want to receive from God and I need to have faith. And faith isn't, like I said, faith is that trust, that confidence in God. When you're in the middle of a storm, that's no time to lose your confidence in God. When you're in the middle of battling sickness, that's no time to lose your confidence in God. When you're trying to overcome a financial difficulty, that's no time to lose your confidence in God. You got to stay the course. And to stay the course, you're going to have to get your eyes off of the wind, and you're going to have to get your eyes off of the storm, and you're going to have to be laser focused on Jesus. And laser focused means laser focused on His Word. In my sickest moments, I want to declare I'm healed. And people don't understand that. I'm sorry, people don't understand that. They think you've lost your mind. No, I'm healed. Jesus said I am. Well, your body don't say you're healed. I didn't ask my body. I didn't ask you. I'm asking Jesus. Jesus said He bore my sickness and carried my diseases, and by His stripes I'm healed. Jesus said that. That's it. And you got to be willing to say that in the face of contradicting circumstances. You got to be willing to say that in front of people that when they ask you, how you doing? When I was struggling after I got hurt real bad, and people had come by and they were trying to be gracious, they were trying to be kind, and I understand that. And they'd say, oh, Pastor, how you doing today? And I'd say, better every day. Because that's what I was believing for. And that might have been the worst day I'd had. But I wasn't going to put my faith in a bad day. I was going to put my faith in God. Now, I can't tell you, but I can tell you this. It worked for me. And I know it's because I'm His pet. I'm His favorite. He don't love anybody like He loves me. Yeah, God's no respecter of persons. He loves everybody on this silly planet. Every dingbat out there, God loves. He loves people. God loves people. Good people, bad people, straight people, gay people. God loves people. He don't love what we do, but He loves us. That stupid commercial during the Super Bowl. God gets us. Jesus didn't come to get you. Jesus came to save you. He came to save you. Why does God need to save you? Because you're a screw up. No. I needed a Savior. So God don't have to get me. I got to get Him. I need to understand Him, not Him understand me. He came to seek and to save the lost, and I was lost. So I just want you to know, our faith is involved in receiving the goodness of God in our life. That's why it should be a priority in our lives. Amen, Pastor. That's the truth. Now, you don't have to. You were given this life. You have a life. You have a life. You can live it any way you want. God will let you. You can shoot drugs. You can drink yourself to death. Smoke yourself to death. You can eat yourself to death. It's your life. But God's saying, you don't have to. You don't have to. Come let me be God in your life. Amen? So, I just want you to know I'm just trying to grow myself. Come on. I don't get faith because I'm a pastor. I get faith because I hear the Word. Yep. And it only works if I work it. I have pastor friends that die all the time. Too young. There's pastors that I've known that's committed suicide. I think God's will. No, you never heard of that? You never seen? Yeah. They don't change the fact that the Word works. To those who work the work. And I know I've been accused of being way too serious about this stuff, but it's all I got. If I could sing, I'd sing. If I could dance, I'd dance for you. I can't do any of it, so I just got to preach. God loves you, and Jesus came to save you. And if you're saved, he came to give you faith so you can receive from him. Because I don't believe God makes promises just to dangle my... You're not a donkey pulling a cart with a carrot in front of you. Healing. That's not how it works. Y'all okay this morning? It's only 11. I can let you out of here and we can meet the Baptist at the restaurant. Come on. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, of course, we want to give you that opportunity. God has purpose for your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. Don't care what kind of mess you made in your life. God's got purpose for you.